So, I'd like to read, following in this scheme I have, a little Prabhupada, Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay? So I just want to read one letter from Prabhupada. This is in 17th of February, 1976, in Auckland. Prabhupada is in Mayapur. He's writing this to Raj Lakshmi Dasi. What happened? Translation is... What is happening with translation? No microphone. Simultaneous attracting. What has happened? He has the microphone stand, but no microphone. Maybe Krishna doesn't want this to be translated for some reason. My dear Raj Lakshmi Dasi, please accept my blessings. I beg to acknowledge receipt of your letter dated 9th of February, 1976. So it took 8 days to receive this from Auckland to Mayapur. My advice is always chant 16 rounds minimum and follow the four regulative principles. All of my disciples must agree on this point. Otherwise, they are not my disciples. Let one live anywhere, but stick to the principles. Disagreements will continue in this material world. So one may live in a suitable place, but one must follow these five principles. My disciples must follow these principles, living either in heaven or hell. Living in heaven or hell, we must follow these principles. I hope this meets you well, your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In heaven or hell, you must follow these principles. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So today is the divine appearance of Sri Birabhadra Gosai. Who is Birabhadra? The son of... I know you know. Don't... Who is he the son of? Birabhadra. Huh? Lord Nityananda, he's saying. And who else? Who is the mother? It's either, there's only two options. It's either Vasudha or Janavi. Well, of course, they were both the mother, in one sense, we can say. So this was, to explain a little bit about Birabhadra Gosai, we have to know a little bit about the history of Abhiram Das Thakur, or who was also known as Ram Das in the pastimes of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Lord Nityananda to go to Vrindavan. He said, go to Vrindavan because my dear Gopa, there, Sridham, is there waiting. Bring him back here for pastimes. So Nityananda went to Govardhan with this mission to bring Sridham back. So he was going all over Govardhan. He was yelling, Sridham! Sridham! All over Govardhan. So Sridham, who as you know is one Gopa, associate of Lord Balaram, Lord Krishna, one of the Gopas, He was from Krishna's time, he was staying in one cave there. So when he heard his name being called like this, he came out of the cave. And he saw Lord Nityananda. Ah, Sridham, you have come. Of course, Sridham was still very big. He's a very big size. And everyone was small. Because at that time, everyone was bigger. So he came, everyone was small. Oh, Sridham, please come with me. Who are you? I am your old friend, Balai. Balai, how you can be? Balaram. No, how can you be Balaram? Balaram was very big. You are so small. You are a little dwarf. You cannot be Balai. Impossible. No, I am him. Let us make a test, he said. We will have a race around Govardhan. If you beat me, then you are Balaram. But if you don't, you're an imposter. So they get ready, get set, they go. Jayapataka Maharaj, he explained this story very nice with like a racing announcer, he said. And his Balaram and his good feet on the front, and coming, Balaram, neck to neck, they're coming. And Nitai wins. So Nityananda won the race. And he said, oh, okay, you are my Balaram, Balai. You are my Balai. Hare Krishna. What is your order? Lord Krishna, Kanai has said, come to... he has now taken birth as Lord Chaitanya, and he wants you to come and help with the Sankirtan movement. Let's go, he said. Then Lord Nityananda looked at him. There is one problem. You are so big. No one now is so big as you are. People will not understand. You are too big. So he put his hand on his head, and he, with his mystic powers, Lord Nityananda, he made him smaller. So he became very small, like that. Not so small, but he could, right size, you know. And so he became Ramdas, Abhi Ramdas Thakur, in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. And he had great mystic powers, more than normal, because he was from another age, you know. So Lord Nityananda had many children, and Abhiram Das Thakur, he had this thing: if he offered his obeisances, Dandava was so potent that if the thing he was offering obeisances to was not Vishnu Tattva, it would die, or they would bring Shaligram Shila to him. Is this a Shaligram? And he would offer obeisances to the Shaligram. If the Shaligram exploded, it wasn't a Shaligram. If it didn't, it was Vishnu Tattva. It was a real Shaligram. So like this, they would bring him to test. You know? So Lord Nityananda had many children, and Abhiram Das Thakur would go and offer obeisances to the children. And they would immediately die. Leave their bodies. So finally, Virabhadra was born. And they thought, the ladies thought, we have to make some arrangement so he doesn't come. Because we don't want him to kill this baby like the others. So he was on the other side of the Ganges. So they arranged that all the boats left for somewhere else, or they were filled with water. He didn't have any boat to go across the Ganges to get there. What to do? So he took his chadar off. He laid it on the Ganges, and the chadar took him across. Like a boat. He went with the chadar. The chadar took him across the Ganges. Very powerful. First, oh no, he is coming. He's coming, he's coming. No. He said, why didn't you invite me? He said, then he offers his obeisance to Virabhadra. And he looks up and Virabhadra is smiling. So he understood that, yes, this is the child who is Vishnu Tattva. So Virabhadra is an incarnation, Vishnu Tattva. They say also he's an incarnation of Lord Chaitanya. They say also. That is there. Yeah. And after the Lord Chaitanya leaves, the Goswamis also are very old. And the leader, the main acharya of the Hare Krishna movement is Janava Devi. So Janava is the main acharya, but her right hand person in the movement is Virabhadra, who was helping her. So he became very prominent and practically afterwards the main acharya. So many places he was helping establish places of Krishna's pastimes, also Lord Nityananda's pastimes. He was born in Ekachakra, that area, and you can go and see his place of birth also, the Virabhadra's place in Ekachakra. He developed many nice places. There's a big lake in Ekachakra where he employed 1,200 Nedas, Prabhupada explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nedas are Buddhists. He employed these Buddhists to excavate, make this big lake, you know, there. So he was engaging everyone, you know. I imagine this was like around 1600 and afterwards, this time, you know. Getting close to the modern times, you know. That was something about his Virabhadra's appearance. Today is his appearance day. So I wanted to say something. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, are you ready? You ready for something? Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 1, Text 44, 43, I'm sorry. The History of the Life of Ajamiya. Etair adharmo vigyataha sthanam dandasya yujyate sarve karmanurodhena dandam arhanti karina etar adharmo vigyata sthanam dandasya yujyate sarve karmanurodhena dandam arhanti karina etair adharmo vigyata sthanam dandasya yujyate sarve karmanurodhena dandam arhanti karinaha etair adharmo vigyata sthanam dandasya yujyate sarve karmanurodhena dandam arhanti karinaha. Ladies, by all these witnesses, beginning from the sun god, Adharmaha, deviation from the regulative principles, Vijataha, is known, Sthanam, the proper place, Dandasya, of punishment, Yujyate, is accepted as, Sarve, all, Karma Anurodhena, with consideration of the activities performed, Dandam, punishment, Arhanti, deserve, Karinaha, the performers of sinful activities. Translation. The candidates for punishment are those who are confirmed by these many witnesses to have deviated from their prescribed regulative duties. Everyone engaged in fruitive activities is suitable to be subjected to punishment according to his sinful acts. There is no purport to this verse. So I'll read the next few verses. We'll get a big purport. Sambhavantihi badhani viparitani chanaga karinam gunasangosti dehavana yakaramakrit. Translation. O inhabitants of Vaikuntha, you are sinless, but those within this material world are all karmis, whether acting piously or impiously. Both kinds of action are possible for them because they are contaminated by the three modes of nature and must act accordingly. One who has accepted a material body cannot be inactive, and sinful action is inevitable for one acting under the modes of material nature. Therefore, all the living entities within this material world are punishable. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The difference between human beings and non-human beings is that a human is supposed to act according to the direction of the Vedas. Unfortunately, men manufacture their own ways of acting without reference to the Vedas. Therefore, all of them commit sinful actions and are punishable. Next verse. Yena yavan yata dharmo dharmo veha samihita sa eva tat palam bhunte tatata vad amutravai. In proportion, translation, in proportion to the extent of one's religious or irreligious actions in this life, one must enjoy or suffer the corresponding reactions of his karma in the next. Purport by Prabhupada. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 14:18, anybody know that verse? Pandits? No? Nobody knows. Urdvam gacchanti sattvatsta madhyetishtanti rajasa jaganya gunavrittista adho gacchanti tamasa. Those who act in the mode of goodness are promoted to higher planetary systems. to become demigods. Those who act in an ordinary way and do not commit excessively sinful acts remain within this middle planetary system. And those who perform abominable sinful actions must go down to hellish life. Okay. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Dhyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Mitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshvare Vrittabhana Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatari Varscha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Potitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukungaro divacha lang pungang lange te girim yat kripa tamaham bande shi gurum dinatarinam paramananda madhavam shi chaitanya ishwaram Hari Om Tat Sat. Etaira dharmo vigyata stanam dandasya yujyate sarve karmanu rodhena dandam arhanti karinaha. Translation of the three verses. The candidates for punishment are those who are confirmed by these many witnesses to have deviated from their prescribed regulative duties. Everyone engaged in fruitive activities is suitable to be subjected to punishment according to his sinful acts. O inhabitants of Vaikuntha, you are sinless, but those within this material world are all karmis, whether acting piously or impiously. Both kinds of action are possible for them because they are contaminated by the three modes of material nature and must act accordingly. One who has accepted a material body cannot be inactive, and sinful action is inevitable for one acting under the modes of material nature. Therefore, all the living entities within this material world are punishable. In proportion to the extent of one's religious or irreligious actions in this life, one must enjoy or suffer the corresponding reactions of his karma in the next. So, this is an answer to the question posed by the Vishnudutas. Katangsvid Driyate Dhanda, punishment. Kim Vasya Stanam Ipshitam Dandya King Karinak Sarve Ahosvit Katichinrinam. What is the process of punishing others? Who are the actual candidates for punishment? Are all karmis engaged in fruitive activities punishable, or only some of them? So first of all, the Yamadutas answer that according to authority, those who are punishable are those who are witnessed to be engaged in sinful activities. First of all, these are those who will be punished. And they're saying there is justice because it is not arbitrary. They will be tried according to evidence. I was recently reading an article about investigations, saying how because everyone's senses are fallible, they're never able to give properly, be the witnesses of truth. So you can never get 100% truth because everyone has their subjective vision, which becomes contaminates their witnessing. Of course, here it's explained that the witnesses are more powerful witnesses. Even Krishna, the Super Soul, Yamaraj, we will learn in later verses, also is, in the way the Super Soul is present everywhere, Yamaraj is also present, because he must know what your sinful actions have been in the past. So in the same way that the Super Soul is connected to the soul within the heart, Yamaraj also has a connection to the Super Soul, whereby he is also able to get this information. So he knows what the activities, past activities, present and future activities are of the living entity. He knows already. So, then is actually, well, are all karmis punishable? They're asking. That is the next question. And here, the Yamadutas are saying, because all the karmis in the material world are influenced by the modes of material nature, they have to act in such a way that inevitably there will be some sinful activity. At one point or another in time, they will engage in some sinful activity, because automatically they're influenced by the modes of material nature. Of course, we understand from the verse Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavad Gita 14:18, Urdvam gachanti sattvasta madhye tishtanti rajasa jaganya guna vrittista adho gachanti tamasa. So, from the different modes, you're pushed to different situations, material situations. This pushing or going, gachanti. You're going to different, either sattvasta, rajasa, tamasa. You're pushed in this way because of the influence of the material modes of nature. Each one of your bodies here, my body, there is some influence of the modes of nature. Because Kali Yuga is such a strange time. There are no pure modes. They're all mixed. So you may have some strong sattvagun. You may have stronger rajagun. You may have strong tamagun. And in this way you are pushed in this material world by your body. Therefore Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, the first thing he explains in the second chapter is, you are not this body. You are not the body controlled by the material modes of nature. First thing he says, get away from this identification. Please. And of course, in one sense, the Yamadutas are saying, you are from Vaikuntha. They're telling the Vishnudutas, you are not subject to this. Yeah? You are not subject to this. And what does Krishna say? Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Anybody know? Pandits. It starts with mang. Mang. Cha. Yo. Vyabhicharena. Translation? One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down under any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the spiritual platform.
sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam saranam braja aham tvam sarva pape mokshishyami masucha.
So beyond what is goodness or dharma, one must give up any connection with this material world. The material world is compared to a prison house. So as devotees, we have sometimes programs in the prisons. Also in Paraguay, where I live, we have prisons like everywhere else, you know. It is a prison. There is one main prison. And this prison is designed for about 1,000 inmates. This prison, and there are 3,500 inmates there in this prison. So we did one program there. We cooked khichdi. I cooked a big khichdi and then halwa for them. All, you know, they were very appreciative. Of course, there was almost a prison uprising, and the guards had to protect us because some people thought. Some of the prisoners thought that because where they were situated on the line to eat prasadam, maybe they would not get the prasadam. So they were a little in anxiety. Almost they had a prison uprising. So when we went to this prison, we noticed that in the front part of the prison, it was a very nice situation. Even they had some people that had their stores and they would sell things there like this. It was almost very similar to the outside. And people had some nicer rooms like this, you know. The higher criminals were there, you know. The white-collar crime people who stole millions from the government like this, corrupt officials, they were in that place. Then we went a little further down, and you go down a little further. And then the next level of criminals were there, who they had a little more association with the material, with nicer things, but they still mixed, you know. And then we went further down. And when we went further down inside the prison, we had to have special guards because the prisoners were all... Some of them were crazy. They were mad. And they were very dangerous. So we had to have prison guards accompanying us all this whole way, you know. So in this way, the material world is like this. There are some places that are... It's like a prison. Some places are nice. Some places are middle nice. And some places are horrible. So like this, because of the influence of the modes of nature, sattva-gun may be compared to this nice place in the prison. You know? So maybe in the prison someone is thinking, oh, I have this nice place. Or he may be in the second level. He may be thinking, oh, how can I get to this other place where everyone treats you nicely? It's almost like the outside world. So in this way, the karmis are thinking how to elevate themselves within the material world. But they are in the prison. They are not free. And anyone in the prison, in one way or the other, he suffers. He is suffering. So Vaikuntha means no suffering. Kunt is anxiety. Vai is no. No anxiety. That is the spiritual world. So a devotee, as this verse 4:18 was it? 4:18? 14:26, I'm sorry. As 14:26 says, if someone surrenders to Krishna, he transcends the modes of material nature. He is no longer influenced. Just like sometimes to the prison house, the governor would go there, the prison house. And he would see one prisoner, he was a very ideal prisoner, nice person. He would take him to his house to live there and do work at his house, serve in his house. So in this way, because he was acting correctly, he was given some special mercy. So in the same way, if one surrenders to Krishna, he shows that he is repentant in this material world, and he expresses a sincere desire to surrender to Krishna. Krishna will give him facility to transcend the modes of material nature, and he will become under Krishna's shelter. Moksha-shyami masacha. I will give you shelter. I will free you from this material entanglement. That is Krishna's promise in the Bhagavad Gita. But we must be prepared to give up something. Just like the prisoner, he must be prepared to give up his criminal mentality. If he is not prepared to do this, he may try to pretend, but Maya will not allow you to pretend. She is a better warden, Yamaraj, who's in your heart. He will know also. So you cannot fool them with false devotion. You cannot fool them. But when you fully surrender to them, and in one sense, Ajamil, due to the circumstances, fully surrendered. He fully surrendered at that point. Krishna's mercy on him. He was able to fully surrender. Like that. So, in this way, we can have an opportunity to leave this material world and enter into the spiritual plane. The spiritual plane is existing simultaneously with this material plane. In the same way as the prison house is existing, outside is the real world. It also exists in the same time. So I was explaining about Uddhava in the third canto, when he heard about, when he was remembering Krishna and his pastimes. Because he was remembering Krishna and he was becoming absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, at that point, that remembrance, intense remembrance of Krishna, took him to the spiritual world. And it's explained one verse that to be able to speak with Vidura, he had to descend from the spiritual world to this human world, Nuriloka, it's explained. He came from Vaikuntha to Nuriloka. But he was there, sitting there before Vidura. But he was transcended. So you can transcend even in the same body if you absorb yourself intensely in remembering Krishna. This intensity becomes very strong close to the time of death for devotees. Ante Narayana Smriti. And that time you should remember Krishna. And the intensity is more stronger. So Ajamil had this strong pushing to remember Krishna, which fortunately he did. So any of you have that opportunity. Any of you can remember Krishna. It is not exclusive. It doesn't matter what your service is. You may be cleaning the toilets. You may be the big pujari, the head pujari. It doesn't matter. If you're intensely remembering Krishna, you will be projected to the spiritual plane and transcend the modes of nature. Giving up the shackles of material life and for once and for all becoming free. Freedom! Hare Krishna. The freedom movement. Any questions, comments? corrections. No questions? From the radio audience, no questions? Yes. Give him a special microphone. Here. It's a microphone. Translate for him. You can translate for him.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Bhagwan Krishan jail mein paida hoye the, isliye hum jail mein jaakar preaching zyada karte hain. Ye ek important रीजन है हमारा कि हम प्रिजन हाउस में ज्यादा से ज्यादा लोगों को प्रीति करते
हैं.
It's not a question, it's a
statement.
Statement.
Okay.
Telling that because Lord Krishna took birth in the prison house, that's why it seems that we go to prison house a lot and preach
there. It seems what?
Because Lord Krishna took birth in prison house. Devotees go to prison house to preach.
That's not the only reason we go. Translate for him. The devotees consider the whole material world to be the prison house. He's getting it by the radio. You can hear? The whole material world is also the prison house. But yes, we can say that because Krishna appeared in the prison house, that we are very much wanting prisoners to get Krishna conscious. There's a saying in English, this is a captive audience. You know this word, captive audience? Captive audience means they cannot leave. They must listen. So when we do preaching programs in prisons, it's not that they can get up and go somewhere else. They have to listen. So this is a captive audience. So this is very good for preaching. We have one prison ministry for preaching in ISKCON. Do you preach in the prisons here, Mumbai? You also have some prison? It's because they're staying there. They have a good opportunity to chant, to read. They have a lot of free time, we say. So they have a lot of time to study. They have a lot of time to chant japa, like this. And many devotees, they become initiated in the prisons. Yes. And they give up their material life. So the prison is not a physical place. You're a prisoner in this material body. So we are not this body. How to become free of this body, this prison? How to become free? This is what Bhagavad Gita tells us how to do. Hare Krishna. Yes, the prison. Here is a prison that's sacred. Because Krishna was born there. It's a sacred prison. You know? Another question? Comment? Give him the...
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Don't you think our body itself is a prison house where the soul lives? Our body itself is a prison house where the soul lives. We are imprisoned in our own body, you see. Don't you think that we are spirit soul? We are imprisoned in our own body. So is it our body itself is a prison house, isn't it? What do you think?
Yes, because you cannot leave at will. Usually, if you cannot leave a place at will, it is you're incarcerated in the place. On the other hand, just like you may have a house. And in that house, you may engage in fruitive activities or even sinful activities. But if in the house you put an altar of Krishna and you install a deity of Krishna and you worship Krishna in your house and you offer prasadam to Krishna and you give it to your family members and you all come together and listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, then your house is no longer a place where there are karmis who are being punished by Yamaraj and his Yamadutas. Rather, it is a temple of Krishna. So, a place that is a prison house or a body that is a prison house may be transformed into a place of spiritual bliss and ecstasy, prem, bhakti, the same place. Just like when we go to a prison house and we chant Hare Krishna, it becomes a spiritual place. So when you chant Hare Krishna, this body which is like a prison becomes free. It becomes purified. So that is the nature of Lord Chaitanya's movement. That we take something that is normally material and we transform it.
Hare Krishna.
This transformation is part of our process. Transforming matter to spirit. Matter is also already, as we read in the letter to Madhava by Prabhupada, it is transformed spirit is matter. So we can transform it back when we use it for Krishna. So something that is material can become spiritual. And this body which is material, if you use it for Krishna, it becomes spiritual. So many people have cars in Mumbai. Isn't it? You now you see so many different cars. So many people have cars in Mumbai. But there's a difference between the car that is used for Krishna and the car that someone is using for his fruitive activities. There's a big difference. That car is a karmi car. These cars are Vaikuntha cars. Because they take devotees here, there, they take the deities sometimes, so many things, they're sacred. These are sacred cars. But you look, it looks like the same car. Looks like a car. But the purpose is different. The motivation is different. So therefore, sometimes it's hard to see who is a devotee internally. It's sometimes difficult to perceive. Therefore, Vidura, when he looked at Uddhava, he could see, he could perceive, oh, this is a great devotee. Because he understood the symptoms. So we should become expert also. We should become expert in the nectar of devotion. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And read this every day. As a regular thing, every day, read some. Nectar Dosh.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, as it is quietly evident that material desires is so insurmountable for a conditioned soul that it looks very impossible to cross over or overcome these desires. So in this material world, even in the group of devotees, it is found that very clearly that they have mixed desires to enjoy material happiness and simultaneously they look for liberations. Now the question is, from my part is that if they have both things which is basically contradictory in nature, so where is that devotee moving ahead? Is he moving ahead or at a slow speed or is it stagnant? Because one side is moving, is trying to go ahead, and material desire, which is almost looks like a shackles, which certainly stops or bars him to move ahead in Krishna consciousness. So, is there any kind of hope for those people that ultimately they will be able to cross over this material realm and enter the spiritual realm, there is no anxiety, then they have these material desires also. So the question is that, is it like, what's the position of that devotee?
Very, very good question. There's the verse, akamo kama va mokshashami, moksha kama udharati. There it's mentioned, tivrena bhakti yogena. That intense, when, in relation to the intensity of your devotional service, all these desires that you have will go away. Of course, you are referring to someone who is on the clearing stage of devotional service, but he still has material desires. They're still there. Prabhupada says, like the fan, you unplug it, but it's still moving like that. And even though you may be taking the elevator and not walking up the stairs, maybe the elevator is a slow elevator. So the progress may be a little slower, you know. Just like children, we sometimes observe, for those of you who are parents, we're with the children every day, we do not realize how they're growing. Or the child himself does not realize how he's growing. So they put the mark where it is going, you know, on the wall, you know, here it is. Some uncle will come, or aunt or uncle will come and see him after a few years and say, oh, look how you've grown. Because they see. But he himself is not aware. Or the parents may not be aware because they're not seeing the growth. So sometimes in devotional service, because we're following the process, we're becoming purified, we don't realize how we ourselves are growing. Okay? So that is observed by others. Oh, just see, he's doing such nice service. He's doing this, his consciousness is, how nice he's speaking. There are symptoms of someone who is becoming more and more advanced. Just like some years ago, this same type of question, in the same way, you may not have made. So the type of question you're making would make me think, oh, now he is having some further realization. He is actually advancing. So there's some symptoms are there. This is an example. Hopefully it's true. So it is being observed. But you may not feel that you are advancing. You may feel that you are, it's very slow. Because Krishna in the beginning, he gives you some taste. And it is like an incentive. Just like in the movies, here we're in Bollywood land, there's a trailer. So you see the trailer of the movie, oh, so nice, I want to go see. So in the same way, Krishna in the beginning gives you a trailer of what it will be like in devotional service. How you will be free, how you will be happy in Krishna consciousness. But then he takes it away. Now work for it. Now put your nose to the grindstone, we say. Go and work for it. Show me that you want it. So Krishna is watching through Maya. Krishna wants to know how you are serious to become Krishna conscious. Then you have to, just like you may hear about some university, this and that, I will get my degree, this will happen, and you're very enthused, you start university life. But you have to be there 8 years to become a lawyer or a doctor or something. So much time. So then you start working and working and working. And it's not like the beginning, when you were so enthused. But you know, because you have seen others go through the process and become happy in that position. You know, you've seen it. So in the same way, we see from the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see from devotees, we see how they're following the process and advancing in Krishna consciousness.
Well, in Prabhuji, in Canto 6, which is basically described as a glorification of the Holy Name, the power of the Holy Name. Now, it is said that the Holy Name is so powerful that it can eradicate this the reaction of your sinful activities that one can commit or one can imagine of. So if one is engaged in devotional service, although he has some simultaneous material desires, so does it not mean that if he's engaged in devotional service, the reaction, material desire is more or less, sinful. I mean, to be in material world is more or less just like sinful activities. So is it not that if he's engaged in devotional service, sooner or later he will be able to realize Krishna and he will give up these things early? Or what do you think?
Just like the drug addict. There's many addicts, not only drugs, but so many things. Alcohol is also considered a drug. But there are so many types of addicts. There's sex addicts. So many addicts. And he may become free of his addiction. But he is subject to relapse. He's subject to relapse. He has a tendency to relapse. So although you become purified, unless you are very fixed and you're very serious, that's why it's kirtaniyak sada hari. Sada, your service, your spiritual activity must be continuous. Continuous. And you must be expert at maintaining the fire. Just like if you're in the wilderness, if you're outside, it's cold. Everyone knows you have to maintain the fire. You have a fire there. It's keeping you warm. It's keeping you alive. So you have to maintain that fire going strong. So you have to go. You get the wood. You have to do this and that. You maintain that fire. So Krishna consciousness is the same way. You have to maintain the fire of Krishna consciousness. Do something to maintain it. So what do we have? Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaram Parasevam. We have the way to maintain it. So they're different. There are 9 different ways to maintain that fire. So if you don't do one, do the other. Like that. But you have to maintain it. But it's work. You have to work at it. Until you transcend. Until your consciousness goes to the other plane. You're fully in the other world. Then it doesn't matter. You're fully attached to Krishna. In that other plane. Until that time, we have to work. Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. So you have to work. Just like the addict has to work to overcome his addiction. Otherwise, he'll have a relapse. The tendency to relapse is there. That's why the living entity is marginal potency. He can relapse until he leaves this material world.
Yeah, Prabhuji, as you said in your examples, that a child who is lifted over the shoulder of the father doesn't realize that he's elevated.
Doesn't realize he's what?
He's elevated. I mean, if he's put onto the shoulder of his father, he's higher on the level of ground, but he doesn't realize. But others can realize that he's advanced, higher on the ground. So likewise, is it that those who are quite advanced in Krishna consciousness, they generally show themselves very insignificant, as maybe to the level of tools and warmness tool? Is it because of that feeling, or is it that they realize, they know that where the position is, or they are in a different plane, that consciousness, that they are so highly elevated, but they always put forward their position as the lowest? This is one system.
The soul is very small. So he who realizes the real nature of the soul will understand how insignificant and small and tiny he is. He never thinks, I am a great person. He's just thinking, because he sees, I'm very small, insignificant. And I see so many other souls everywhere, existing everywhere. And I'm just one of those little tiny souls. So he doesn't think he's very elevated. Because he realized, he sees what his true nature is. Of course, at the same time, he who is liberated, he who is a devotee, is a special soul, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So to become that special soul, that's very nice, because you become dear to Krishna. So it's a different soul than the many, but still, he realizes, oh, look at so many souls, and I am just one small, tiny. And he prays, I just want to be an atom at your lotus feet. Just let me be an atom. Very small. Let Krishna step on me. Let the devotee step on my head. I don't care. Great position. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shishi Radha Rasabihari ki. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Shishi Gaurnitai ki. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Harinam Sankirtan ki.